Jeremiah said in the 15th chapter, "Thy words were found," in the 16th verse, "I did eat them, and thy word was unto me joy
and
rejoicing." Didn't the psalmist David say, "Taste and see"? Taste and see that the Lord is good. And this is what Jeremiah said. He said, "I found it. I ate the word, and it was unto me joy and rejoicing. For I am called by thy name." How many know that you are heirs and joint heirs tonight? How many know you have an inheritance? This is what Jeremiah said. "I have an inheritance. I'm called by thy name. I'm in the family." God don't have any grandchildren. I said, God don't have any grandchildren. You're all sons and daughters of God tonight. We are not grandchildren. We have an inheritance. That's why Jesus said, "I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob." He identified all three separately. He didn't put them all together, and he said, "I'm Abraham's God and Isaac's God and Jacob." He says, "I am the God of Abraham." Then he says, "I am the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Jacob." And he says, "I am not the God of the dead." He says, "I am not." In other words, he was saying Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were still alive. They were still alive. They weren't dead. He said, "I am not the God of the dead, but I am the God of the living." And Jeremiah said, "When I found your word and I tasted your word and I acted upon your word, it brought joy to my life and rejoicing." This isn't something "I hope so." This is something that you know for yourself, that he is not the God of the dead, but he is the God of the living. What did the Lord say to Ezekiel, Kevin? What did Ezekiel see?
Saw a valley of dry bones.
He saw what?
A valley of dry bones.
You know what God saw? An army. Some of you didn't hear me tonight. Ezekiel saw what, Kevin?
He saw a valley of dry bones.
But what did God see? God saw an army. Now, I'm going to tell you that one more time so I get a response. I mean, in the army, when the sergeant said something, we had to say, "Yes, sir." I mean, you had to talk back to the sergeant. When you marched, you had to sing a song. We used to sing in Fort Dix, New Jersey, as we marched. "I left the good home, I left you right. Left you right. I left the good home, you right." We had to sing it loud to really make you miserable. There we are marching, and when you hit the ground, you had to dig your heels in to the ground. They checked your heels, too, because you always had to have perfect heels on your shoe because they wanted to make sure you kept right up. You know, you had to look good, even though they had you using them boots. They checked your heels all the time. So I know a little something about discipline. And I think one of the worst things that ever happened is that they stopped drafting our young men.
That's right.
Worst thing that ever happened. Because they can't appreciate what they have here in America. They think that what we have here is like this in other parts of the world. When you get out of the country, you see what goes on in the other world. Another thing they teach you is discipline. They teach men how to make beds. And after you make the bed, you have to bounce a quarter off the bed. The sergeant comes by with a 25-cent piece. And when he throws it on the bed, it has to bounce. You have to make everything tight, the sheets, the blankets. And he comes by and bounces. If it doesn't bounce, your bed wasn't made right. So if I don't get any amens, if I don't get any bounce, there's something wrong with your sheets at home.
He saw a valley which was full of dry bones.
He saw a valley of dry bones, but you know what God saw? An army. I'll tell you that again, get you excited tonight. We got something to get excited about because he said, when I ate the word, it was joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's what the world needs, is a little bit of joy. They need some rejoicing. Not a state of happiness where you may be entertained by someone. You have a little laughter, or you go out with friends and you have a little entertainment. That's happiness. But I'm talking about a joy that from your innermost being flows rivers of living water. I'm talking about here. This joy that the Lord gives you, the world can't take it away. Because the world didn't give it. And because the world can't give it to you, neither can it take your joy from you. And Isaac, the promised child, his name means joy and laughter. And this is what I want to get across to you tonight. The Lord is coming back for a happy church. But you know why it's happy? Not just because it's emotional or emotionalism. The reason why we're happy is because the blessings of the Lord are going to be upon your life. Because of the blessings of the Lord. When did Abram, who against hope believed in hope, when did that start? When God changed his name. When God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, at the age of 99 years old, there's still hope for you. I'm going to tell you again, there's still hope for you. 99. The Lord changes his name. You see, when the Lord does it, it brings joy and rejoicing. When you eat his words, this is when he received, who against hope, we read yesterday in Romans that he believed in hope, though all hope is gone. Why? Because God gave him a revelation. He knew what he was shouting about. He knew what he was believing in. And it says in Genesis 17, when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Now that word perfect means grow up. Everybody say, grow up. I'm not talking about a halo over your head. And the doctrine of perfection, where people are going to try to earn their way into the kingdom of God. When he said, walk before me and be thou perfect, he was talking about growing up. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. I think one of these Wednesday nights we'll all lay on our face and let God talk to us. It said he fell on his face. Imagine that. The preacher. How do you like to go to church and have the preacher lay on the floor and preach to you? Imagine being on television or off television. Now I'm laying there with a microphone preaching to people, laying with my face on the floor, preaching. Everybody wants to be dignified, you know. We want people to think well of us because we're performing for people. We're not here to perform for people. But that's what religion has become. It's become performance. What others think about us. And the Lord said, as for me, in Genesis 17 and 4, when God says, as for me, he is making a statement that nobody is going to change his mind. Now, some of you didn't hear that. When God chooses to bless you, he didn't say, I'm going to go to the board members. He didn't say, I'm going to have a conference with others to see if what I'm telling you, if this is the right thing to do. When God changed his name to Abraham, he goes on to say in Genesis 17 and 4, as for me. Everyone say, as for me. God is saying, I'm not asking anybody's opinion about you. Because if he asked others' opinions about him, I'm sure he wouldn't be worthy to be called Abraham. Because if you want to check out things in his life, I mean, he wasn't perfect by no means. And the devil is the accuser of the brother. And he accuses you before God day and night. The devil is relentless. He accuses you before God. In fact, he was arguing with Michael, the archangel, over the body of Moses. And you know what the archangel said? Get the hell out of here. That's what the Lord rebuke you means. Say, the Lord rebuke you.
Lord rebuke you.
He was rebuking the devil and say, get the hell out of here. Go back to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels, Jesus said. Hell was not made for man. Say, hell was made for the devil and his angels. I didn't say it, Jesus said it. Hell wasn't made for man. And I don't intend to go there, and neither should you intend to go. Say, I don't intend to go to hell. Say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Leave me alone. Get the hell out of my life. Yeah, it's time you talk back to him. Some of you had to tell the man and the woman to get the hell out of your life. Come on. Did you tell him? I mean, Abram, he had to tell a Lot to get out of his life. He had to tell his nephew, get out of my life. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you over who gets what. You take first choice. You make the decision. And Lot chooses Sodom and Gomorrah, gets out of Abram's life, and God says, now because he's out of your life, lift up your eyes. It's time you start lifting up your eyes to the Lord to know he's not the God of the dead, because Ezekiel saw a valley of dry bones, but God saw an army. I see an army here in Long Island of God's people. I see an army. I don't see a valley of bones because the word of God brings life. And when God breathes upon you, he rekindles the fire in your life. Ah, I feel it here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you here? God says, as for me, my covenant is with thee. And there are the I wills of God. He says in the sixth verse, I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will establish my covenant. I will give unto thee, to thy seed after thee, Do you know that all the promises that God gave Abraham are for you? Because Jesus said all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea and amen. All, old and new. Say old and new.
All the new.
All the promises that were to Abraham were also for you today. That's why Jesus said, he that is least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. Why did Jesus say that? It bothered me for years. Finally, God opened my understanding. And I realized that the law and the prophets were until John. He didn't have the New Testament promises because he died before Jesus was crucified. Jesus said the last Old Testament prophet was John. The law and the prophets were until John. That's why Jesus said he that is least is greater than John, because John didn't have the New Testament promises. He only had the old. So we have more than John the Baptist. We are least. And Jesus said we are greater. Ah! I said we are greater. We are least and greater. As great as John was. A prophetic word comes. Well, Zacharias is in the temple like we are. We are in the temple here. This is Temple Jerusalem Avenue. And while he is praising the Lord, offering up incense to God, it goes up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. Every time you worship and you honor God, put a value on the things of God, it's a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. Amen. Puts a value on what you're doing. And God accepts that offering that goes up to him. And an angel said, Zacharias, your prayers have been answered. Your wife's going to have a baby. He said, I wasn't praying for a baby. I'm retired. I got my senior citizen card. Hello? I'm retired. I got my senior citizen card. I'm old. My wife's old. We're stricken in years. God says, but your prayers have been answered. Yeah, but that was when we were younger. We don't need a baby now. We're too old for that. How many know God renews your youth when you get his word? That's what God's showing you. You're never too old. Turn to someone and say, you're never too old. Get to the place where we're too old. We're too old to climb the mountain. Ain't what Caleb said. He said, I have as much strength today as I had when I was 40 years old. Now he was over 80 and he said, I have as much strength today. Hallelujah. Amen. When you eat this word, like Jeremiah, it brings joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, 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 joy comes in the morning. Oh yeah. Our morning is here, folks. I said our morning is here. Because the Lord is bringing restoration because he says, as for me, the natural man may just see a valley of dry bones, but God said, I see an army, start prophesying. I said, start prophesying. And this is what I am doing here from God's word. I am prophesying over you tonight. I'm prophesying over you. And as I begin to prophesy, you start eating this word. It brings joy. And how many know joy brings strength? How many know joy brings strength? When people get old, they lose their joy. But how many know the older wine gets, the better it is? Problem is, your cork needs to be tightened up a little bit. You need to be recorked. Hello? And in fact, when you store wine, you don't store it straight up and down. You put it on an angle because you got to keep the cork wet. And this is what we're doing here. We're keeping your cork wet here tonight, folks.
Thank you, Pastor. I said thank you, Pastor.
Yeah. Just call me Eugene the winemaker. You have to keep the cork wet, Barry?
That's correct. It keeps it sealed.
Keeps it sealed. You ever open up a wine barrel and a wine barrel? I mean a bottle. Drinking heavy tonight. You ever open a bottle of wine and the cork crumbles? How many have had the cork crumble? What's the matter with the rest of you? You just drink Coca-Cola or what?
Screw cap.
Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And you're off in infirmities. We'll take all kind of medications, and that's not a sin. You mentioned a glass of wine. Ooh, that's a sin. Well, you're taking drugs. You're taking drugs. Prescription drugs. They legalize it to make you drug addicts. They're legalizing it. They can make you a drug addict legally, and they don't go to jail for it. Isn't it good to have joy? And when you eat God's word, you know, you can have joy. That's why Paul said the letter will kill you. This Bible will actually kill you. Some of you, you don't go to churches where there's preachers. You go where there's morticians. Hello? You don't go where the anointing is. You're going where morticians are. They're embalming you. Amen. Bombing you. They're not giving you the word of God. The word of God makes your blood flow in your veins. Jeremiah said, I wanted to give up preaching. I was tired of looking at people's faces that wouldn't accept this. But he said, I couldn't shut my mouth because within me, his word was as a burning fire. Amen. It was as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. Amen. You can't quit, folks. None of you can. You can't even commit suicide if you want. I mean, Elijah wanted to die. He went under a juniper tree. He said, Lord, take my life. I'm tired of fighting with Jezebel. I'm tired of fighting with the backslidden church. I want to die. So you know what God does? Sends him an angel, and they had a 4th of July barbecue. Hello? He wanted to die, and God sends an angel to cook for him. And there they're having a 4th of July barbecue. Think of that. Amen. Then he goes back to sleep. You know what happens? He got woke up again. So you better have a little more barbecue here because you're going on a journey. Because you're going on a 40-day journey. He wanted to go back to Horeb where Moses got the law. He figured if he can go back to the law, then he can get the word of God. When he went back to Mount Horeb, you know what God says? Moses, what are you doing here? Hello? Some of you got the message. You go to of the law, the church of the law, and you don't know God's trying to get a message to you and say, what are you doing in this place? You know what the Lord said? You better go back. Everybody say, go back.
Go back.
From which you came. Wanted to go hear the law. That's what people do when they lose the spirit. That's what Paul told the Galatian church. He says, who's bewitched you? Who? Who's cast a spell on you? Having begun in the spirit, why are you now trying to perfect yourself in the flesh? How's that sound, Brother Styles?
Styles.
He's got style, this man. Larry Seitz has style. Gave him a new name tonight. Larry Styles. Hallelujah. How many of the Lord gives you some style? Amen. Some folks, they get old-fashioned, you know. The Lord keeps you up with what's going on. Can you say amen? Lord keeps you in style. Ladies, get the latest hairdo. Wear the latest dresses, the latest shoes. Hallelujah, get right up in style. Don't let the world outdo you. Just keep on keeping on. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Paul said to the Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the spirit, why are you trying to perfect yourself in the flesh? It's a spirit. It's a spirit of witchcraft. Mm-hmm. He was, oh, preacher got the Bible, but you better watch out what spirit it is. Because there are many spirits in the world, a lot of seducing spirits. Just like when Satan, when he came to Adam and Eve, and he says, yea, hath God said? Questioning the word of God that was given, that's what they do. They question the word of God. Put something on you where you can't be free in the Lord. They want you bound up, put you in a straitjacket. But I got news. You're not going to put my God in a straitjacket. Oh, hallelujah. You're not going to put my God in a straitjacket. That's what they do. They want to suit him up. It's like when David went out to battle. What did Saul want to do? Saul wanted to put a straitjacket on. He wanted to put his armor on David. He didn't want to fight. Isn't that wonderful? Everybody's opinionated. They don't know. They ain't been in the battle, but they weren't there when we went to the Colosseum. They weren't there when our life was threatened. They weren't there when there were policemen under the altar looking for a bomb during the meeting. They weren't there in New York when I went to Madison Square Garden and under the marquee there. They were going to televise. We were making a commercial and all the cameras were set up, and Michael Broad and I come pulling up, and two men come at us with knives, not pocket knives. I'm talking about stilettos, and they were coming at us to kill us. Preparing. They figured they were going to make a name and then run and leave. They wanted to make sure it hit the headlines. When they came at me, I had my revolver. You say, wait a minute, don't you believe in the law? Oh, yes, there's times God will use an angel, and then there's other times God will use a rock. You mentioned that for, oh, that ain't spiritual. No, that is common sense. That's what a lot of Christians lack, is common sense. They throw everything off on God, and God says, you dress the garden and you keep it. God expects you to dress it, and God expects you to keep it. That's what it's all about. So Paul tells Timothy, he said, listen, Timothy. He said, don't drink any water. Drink no longer water. In 1 Timothy 5:23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. If you don't believe it, rip the page out of the Bible. You'll take all kinds of medication. But we don't believe the fruit of the vine can heal. The only natural drink there is wine. I'm not here selling you wine. Hello? I can have a glass of wine a year from now or now. It don't bother me one way or another. But I'm just bringing out some truths here that are in God's word. Because he was dealing with a backslidden church. He was pastoring the church of Ephesus where Paul had a great revival in the book of Acts. And then in the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus is the first church that John mentions that the Lord speaks to him about because they left their first love. There's one thing in losing something, but when you leave something, you know you left it. If you lost something, you don't know it's lost. But if you leave it, you know you left it. You're getting the massage tonight. He said, I have somewhat against thee. You have left your first love, and the hardest people to deal with are backslidden Christian people. They were going to church. He was pastoring the church. And that's why he said to him, you better take a little bit of wine for your stomach's sake and your often infirmities. So I'm just bringing out a truth to you tonight, that's all. When you eat of this word, when you eat of it, it brings joy. And that's what the school of the prophets should be doing. It should bring joy to you. That's why the first miracle that Jesus performed was turning the water into wine. Because he wanted the church to know he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that word life means to be able to cope with what is going on around you. You can rise above the situation. Instead of the situation getting you down, you can rise above it. Can you say amen? The Lord gives you understanding. You don't have to remain in the pig's pen. That's what it says about the prodigal son when he came to himself. When he started using his brain. And he came to himself and said, what am I doing here in the pig pen? Eating the foods the pig eat. He said, I could be. School of the prophets. I can be in school of the prophets on Wednesday night. Eating the word of God, that's going to bring joy and rejoicing to my life. That's where I can be. Amen. I can have something in life more than what others have around me. He gets on his way home. And his father meets him. Has the best robe for him. Has the best ring for him. Put shoes on his feet. And they go back home. And they come to Massapequa Tabernacle and they came inside and there was music going on. There was rejoicing. And we've killed the fatted calf here tonight. Can you say amen? Didn't say the skinny calf, the sick calf, the leftover calf. We have killed the fatted calf. And there was music. And there was dancing. Because of the joy of the Lord. Some of you, God's going to give you a new step after tonight. I said, some of you need a new step. God will heal your fallen arches. I'm going to show you something here that I'm just going to bring something out. Is that all right, Dr. Taylor, if I just bring something out here?
It's all right.
After all of this, where God says your name now is Abraham. 99 years old. Your wife's name has changed from Sarai to Sarah. And as for me, I'm not going to change my mind about blessing you. That was in the 17th chapter. Now, in the 20th chapter, it says, Abram journeyed from thence in the first verse. And they came to Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now here's a pregnant 90-year-old woman. She had to be pretty good looking. I wish somebody would say, praise the Lord. I know this is truth, but you see, you got to eat the word to bring joy and rejoicing. I'm trying to show you God has a sense of humor that some of these preachers, they need to get saved. They need to get saved. All they got is a job. Read it in Genesis 20, Kevin, because I want to listen to this. Is this true, Barry? Did this happen?
It's in the Bible. It's not only happened, but even his son Isaac tried. He says, it worked for Pop, it worked for me. Yeah. Same town and everything.
Tell him again.
Well, Abraham did this, and he got away with it. Not only that, but God was with him all the way. Told Abimelech, says, you're a dead man.
Yeah.
So what happened was, is Isaac wasn't stupid. He wasn't born yet, but I'm sure he heard the story. And Isaac went to the same Abimelech, and did the same stunt with his wife. Said, Rebecca, we're going to lie on this one because I don't want any trouble. I learned something from my dad.
Son, don't you take any bad things from I'm giving the interpretation of the Word of God. That's why you have a school of the prophets. This ain't for the Sunday morning crowd. This ain't for those that come and play church on Sunday. This is for people that are off the milk. They're exercising their brain. On Wednesday night, we exercise our brain. This is for people with having the meat, and when you exercise your brain, it pleases God. Some people exercise their body. Everybody's talking about being fit, but they forget your brain needs to be fit. That's why they say beauty is only skin deep. Oh, isn't she a beautiful girl? Oh, what a handsome guy. And you get to them, the lights are on, but nobody's home. Great revolution, I mean revelation we have. Abraham said to Abimelech, she's my sister, Kevin.
He remarked that Sarah was his sister.
Now this is in the 20th chapter. Is that right?
Yes.
Genesis 20.
Yes.
And the 17th chapter, he says, oh, he said, now your name is Abraham. Notice in the second verse, it's Abraham. In Genesis 20, Abraham. He's no longer Abram. This is after he's 99 years old. And God says, your 90-year-old wife is going to get pregnant. She had to be a pretty good-looking woman for a king to want her at the age of 90. Turn to someone and say, I'm good.
I'm good.
Amen. I'm preaching the word. This wouldn't be at any convention, that's for sure. I hear that, Pastor, we got to get the law. We got to purge it. I listen to these prophets and prophetesses. And I tell them, I get nauseous. And I go get a bottle of wine. I have a sip for my stomach's sake. I said, dear God, now I know what Paul was talking about. I have to get healed. I get nausea. Man, folks, keep the letters and the bottles coming in. Joy to the Lord is your strength. Preaching you some truth tonight. His name is now Abraham. Don't say, oh no, this must have been before God's. No, this was after. What happened, Kevin?
He remarked that Sarah was his sister, and King Abimelech sent for her and had her brought to him at his home, at his palace. But that night, God came to him in a dream and told him, you are a dead man, for that woman you took is married. But Abimelech hadn't slept with her yet. So he said, Lord, will you slay an innocent man? He told me she is my sister.
He didn't do it, but he thought about it. I didn't hear too many amen. He just said, if you think about it, it's just as bad as doing it. I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Why do you think he wanted his wife? Age of 90 years old and pregnant besides. Some say I'm pregnant.
I'm pregnant.
Let's skip down a little bit, Kevin. And let's read in the 14th verse.
Then King Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and servants, both men and women, and gave them to Abraham, and returned Sarah his wife to him. Look my kingdom over and choose the place where you want to live, the king told him.
Now listen what this guy is getting. He's getting money, wealth. He's getting all kinds of cattle. Choose the place where you want to live. Go ahead.
He turned to Sarah and he said, I'm giving your brother 1,000 silver pieces.
How much is that, Barry, that day?
Thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars. 1,000 pieces of silver. Go ahead.
As damages for what I did to compensate for any embarrassment and to settle any claim against me regarding this matter. Now justice has been done. Then Abraham prayed.
The man knew the man didn't even come to the tabernacle, and he knew the best way to get out of trouble is to pay your way out. The best way to get out of debt. I'm going to preach you. The best way to get out of debt is pay your way out. I didn't hear too many amens.
Amen.
That's a divine law. What you sow, it's what you reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. It's talking about giving. If it's only for yourself, you're going to reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So it's talking about when you give in the Spirit, that it brings healing to you. Giving brings healing. Say, giving brings healing. Some people think, oh, I'm just giving my money away. You're not giving your money away. You're honoring God. And the only place it says in the Bible to prove me is in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, 10th verse, where God says, prove me in your giving and I will open the windows of heaven for you. Everyone said, I've proved God and I'm waiting, Lord. You gave me a promise. I'm not going to have room to contain the blessings. Go ahead and praise them for it tonight. How to get out of trouble. Gave his way out. This is the same thing when you're in debt. When you pay your way out. When the woman was broke in 1 Kings 17, a little bit of meal in a meal barrel. She gave the little bit she had, and when she gave it, God gave her a continuous miracle in a time of famine. Second Kings, the fourth chapter. Here's a woman's husband dies. A prophet of God. She said, creditors have come to take my children. I don't have any money to pay my debts. Elisha said, what do you have in your house? She said, a little bit of oil. Well, take the oil and go and borrow some vessels and start pouring it out. Because as you pour it out, God is going to give you a miracle. When you start pouring out, he said, but I don't have a whole lot. Well, start pouring out. Here's a man that paid his way out, Kevin.
Yes, he did.
And what happened then?
Then Abraham prayed, asking God to cure the king and queen.
Healing was in the Old Testament too. It says in the King James that they were healed. Say they were healed. Read it in the King James, Kevin. It says that they were healed. And here we are struggling for a miracle. And here's an old king after a woman. Come on! A 90-year-old woman that had to be pretty good looking for a king to want her when he can have a whole harem. Hello? I'm preaching you prophet's food here tonight. I'm giving you prophet's food here tonight. Was Abraham a prophet of God?
Yes.
Was he a prophet of God?
Yes.
So what has happened, Kevin? Were they healed?
Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech.
And God healed Abimelech. He prayed to God. And God healed Abimelech. Abraham, when his name was changed when he was 99. He wasn't perfect. That's the part I want to bring out. He still wasn't perfect. God says, be grown up. That's what the Lord's going to show you in life. I said, in life you're going to have your problems. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord, God will work it out. Can you say amen? I said, if you keep your eyes on the Lord, God will work it out.